This is Radio Kate here at the Heart Pub in London, and it's the regional pub of the year 2010, as voted for by CAMRA, the Association for Real Ale. And funnily enough, it appears that there's a CAMRA meeting going on in the corner of the room, just where we are. I kind of spotted this. This sounds like a bit of a stereotype. You think of CAMRA, you might think of like old gent with beards. Well, there is an old gent, and he has the most glorious beard. I was interested because I'm either, whichever way you look at it, I'm either a journalist or I'm a nosy parker. Whatever. I looked over a guy's shoulder in this little meeting of four, and the bit of paper that he had said, "Making CAMRA matter." So I'm going to see if I can pop over there and see if they will spare a moment to talk to me and find out exactly what CAMRA is, why it should matter, and what they are doing to make it matter. They don't look like they're social media users. Sweeping generalisation, I know. But let's see how I get on. Okay, so this is Radio Kate. I am in the Harp Pub in central London, and I was right. I was thinking that this group that were sitting in the corner over here were from CAMRA, and indeed they are. Not just from CAMRA. I think I've got the CAMRA superstars here for the area. So I'm going to go start on my left. Can you just say your name and what you do?
Yeah, Jeff Drawbridge. I'm London Regional Secretary, and I edit the London Drinker magazine. And we're here tonight to discuss our regional conference that we're planning on the 3rd of September, and we've been working on preparing an agenda and deciding what we're going to discuss and who's going to lead. And I'll pass you over to Kim Martin, our regional director, who'll say a bit more about it.
So, Kim, you're the regional director of CAMRA for London. Is that correct?
That's right. The region encompasses the core of central London, but also going up to Croydon, Bexley, South West Essex, Enfield and Barnet.
They're not London, by the way.
Oh.
I'm a born and bred Londoner, I'm allowed to say that. I'm for the campaign for real London.
But we're broad-minded.
Okay, so that extra voice you've just heard, described yourself a moment ago as the CAMRA gnome.
The CAMRA garden gnome.
What do you mean by that?
It's been a standing joke since the early 1980s. A bunch of us working at the Great British Beer Festival when it was held in Leeds. We got rid of the public, and glad to do so, and we were having a quiet staff beer. And one of the group I was in was the member of our national executive responsible for new products for us to sell. And somebody suggested CAMRA wellies with the CAMRA logo as the footprint. And I suggested the CAMRA garden gnome. Now, the next day, heading in to work at the festival, I thought about this a little more. And I got there, I spoke to a friend of ours, Chris Cobbold, from Southwest London CAMRA, still a staunch member. He loaned me a green woolly bobble hat. He borrowed a red Helly Hansen fleece from one of the customers. And when I say borrowed, I believe two pints went the other direction across the bar. And I sat cross-legged on an upended barrel with a broomstick for a fishing rod and a piece of string. And I was fishing, and our two official photographers took photos. A dozen of my colleagues took photos. A photograph appeared in the next edition of What's Brewing, CAMRA's monthly newspaper. And at the next annual general meeting, when I was recognised to speak, the custom is you give your name, your position in the campaign, oh, and your branch. So I stood up, Richard Larkin, North London branch, and CAMRA garden gnome. And I've made a standing joke of it ever since.
That's actually brilliant. I'm going to ask a really stupid question, just in case there are people out...
You specialise in them.
Oh, I certainly do. So just in case there are people out there listening that don't know what CAMRA is, who's going to give me the quick answer?
It's a campaign for real ale. It was originally started in the 1970s by four gentlemen that happened to be on holiday in Ireland. And they were complaining about the rise in keg beers that the brewers were producing. It was pasteurized and filled with artificially added gas. And real ale is cask conditioned. That means that there's living yeast in the cask making alcohol and carbon dioxide and all the wonderful living flavors. And the keg fizz that the main brewers were starting to peddle is easier for them to manufacture, easier to mass produce, and easier to keep. And cask ale is something that's uniquely British. You can't get it anywhere else in the world. And they wanted to keep it alive. So they started out with four members in 1973, and we now have 123,000.
That is quite a leap. So real ale can really only be British, is that correct?
That's what Camera used to be. It's now self-appointed guardian of pub consumers and beer consumers. And as such, it's lost its focus as being a beer organisation. I'm saying it.
Well, can I just get your name, just because there's a new voice and I should probably put that in there.
My name is Brian Sheridan. I am a member of Camera since 1973. And I am one of the old-fashioned members of Camera who believes that we should be a narrow, focused organisation and not a marketing scam as we are now.
Those are strong words. I'm sure somebody else will have something to reply to that one. You're going to come back.
Yeah. You'll have heard from my colleagues the divergence of views, and that's why we want to have a regional conference in London on the 3rd of September, to which all London members will be invited, so that we can thrash out how we think that we can make Camera better and we can campaign better for the things we believe in. So, if you can pass the message around, that'll be great. Thanks.
Okay, so one thing I might say, I'm perhaps an unusual ale drinker in the fact that I'm going on stereotypes here, but I'm probably slightly younger and slightly more female than your average ale drinker.
And I knew it looks good.
So, I mean, how do you reach out to new members, and how do you try and to encourage people to try something? I mean, there's so many choices out there now. Why should somebody be drinking real ale instead of an alcopop or a cup of tea or whatever?
Well, can I start with this? Because I'm a female. I'm clearly not from London. I came over from California coming up for 30 years ago. So
you left the sunshine for this rainy weather? You're crazy.
I also left the earthquakes behind. So I've been drinking real ale I've been drinking real ale since before it was trendy for women to drink real ale. And so I cut my teeth on a very narrow range of beers. And I drank it basically at first because I was told to. But I didn't start drinking beer critically until I started volunteering for Camera and going to festivals and found out how real ale should be served. And properly kept, it's got this fresh squeezed orange juice characteristic, I called it. It's just real and it's fresh and it's just so tasty. And there's something really trippy about pouring a glass of real ale. It's just got life in it.
I think the point is that real ale covers a whole variety of tastes, flavours and strengths. And there's something for everybody, women, men,
young and old,
if you like. It's not a homogenous product like lager, for example, which is all the same thing and tastes the bloody same. And
that's a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, you escaped from America to come here to drink real ale. I actually kind of went the other way recently, and I was in America kind of accidentally. I went to see a shuttle launch. I packed for 10 days to see a shuttle launch, which got delayed. I stayed for almost 5 months waiting for Discovery to fly. And amongst my travels around the US, there was some nice beer. But I went into a pub and I saw a good English ale on tap. And I was so excited and I ordered it. And it was disgusting. And they were serving, I mean, it would make you weep. The one they were serving was terrible. Took it back, I changed it for a different one. It was terrible. And I went back and I said, look, why are you serving me this? Like, oh, well, you see, it's come all the way from England and it's probably gone off. I'm like, so why are you serving it? So the thing that really got me drinking ale was I'm quite active on the London social media scene, and there's a small group, and we call ourselves Ale 2.0. And what we are the kind of, it's sort of like where new media and old drinking habits collide. And there's like a whole bunch of really like young, enthusiastic people that are kind of involved. And we have a meetup every month, and we just come together and chat, and we enjoy a pint of beer. I mean, that's just something that we've done ourselves. Does Camera do anything where they try and reach out to sort of younger people?
Yes. Camera's certainly reaching out to younger people. We have a young members officer in every branch. And Kim herself is running a Facebook, or is it Twitter? I think it's Twitter, isn't it? So there's quite a few people following her. So, you know, we're certainly encouraging younger people. I've got a couple of young people who are interested in taking over editing the magazine for me. So I think the future is great. I mean, if some of us old blokes can just sit and drink beer and let the young people get on with it, that'll be brilliant. Unfortunately, we lost a whole generation to lager, but there we are, that's life. But we're past that now, and everyone's now enjoying real ale. My son's brewing it.
That's very cool. So you had something to say?
Yeah. May I follow up? I live in northwest London, in Gospel Oak, which is between Hampstead and Kentish Town and Belsize Park. There's a new pub opened there December before last, specialising in real ales and farmhouse ciders and perries. And just in case your listeners don't know, perry is like cider but brewed from pears instead of apples, and you can taste the difference. Come along one day, look at the clientele. There are certainly people of my age, 67. The bulk of the customers are between their early 20s and late 30s. And they are drinking these real ales, they are drinking these ciders, they are socialising, they talk to old fogies like me, which is very flattering, actually, and they talk sense, and they know a quality product when they find it. And they must come out of the way to get there, because it is a backwater. And they're not there for the music, and they're certainly not there for the decor. It's the plainest pub that you'll find in a day's walk, but one day your listeners might like to check it out.
So, I mean, is it more about the availability? I mean, if there are more real ales on tap, then people are going to get to taste them and try them and maybe experiment. I mean, how do you get past the sort of, you know, the very obvious sort of four, you know, the Guinness, the Heineken, the Stella? I mean, how do you make sure that you get ales on tap in pubs?
Real ale is really growing in popularity. Whereas when I first started drinking real ale, there were just a handful of breweries. And now there's hundreds of what they call microbreweries. There's just been an explosion in the variety of different styles. And that's why more people are drinking. And you go to beer festivals, and you see a lot more young people, you see a lot more women drinking beer. There's something for everybody. And I think real ale is going to be the salvation of the English pub, because a pub is, apart from a beer festival that is organised by you know, dedicated hobbyists that are, you know how to keep beer, a pub is the only place you can get a pint of real ale.
But so many pubs are shutting down.
But because real ale is growing in popularity, and
you're going to reverse that trend, hopefully.
Yes.
It's the other side of the coin. There's a lot of threats to real ale.
There's a lot of threats to real ale.
It's the only sector of the beer market which is actually growing at the moment.
Yes. Okay, so on this side of the table, we're very, very positive that real ale is growing. I'm getting a slight stare on the other side. Here we go. Here's a controversy.
I'm sorry, but when you have a corpse, you may well find mould growing on it. Real ale may be getting a slightly increased market share, but it is an extremely low market share, around 5 or 6%, I said, maybe a bit more, I don't know. It used to be a damn sight more than that. In 1994, I think it was 17.5% of the beer market. Real ale is suffering because pubs are too expensive for people to drink in. If you are a lager drinker, you can buy a can of lager in a supermarket and pay about one third the price that you do in a The people who own the pubs, the so-called pub companies, are a bunch of rip-off merchants who finance their business on debt and therefore are having to screw the customer rigid with high prices like the prices you pay in here, I'm sorry to say, in order to get a pint of decent beer. At the same time, the big breweries are spending zillions of pounds on advertising, telling people that Carlsberg is probably the best lager in the world, or that Heineken
is... You don't see a sexy advert for real ale very often, do you? Where are the sexy adverts telling us that real ale is the way to be?
This is the point. There's a market distortion. The real ale brewers tend to be small brewers. They cannot afford to spend large sums of money on TV advertising. And even if they had the money, it wouldn't be any point because they're not producing in the kind of quantities that you need to generate in order to justify the expenditure on advertising. You spend several million pounds on advertising. You need to sell a lot of beer if you're not producing a lot of beer in the first place. So it's a complete market distortion which operates against real beer and, as a consequence, operates against choice. Because
so how are you going to make real ale sexy?
Can I just offer you John Gilbert's law? John Gilbert's a friend of mine who's the chairman of the Hotback Brewery. And Gilbert's law is that the quality of beer is inversely proportional to the advertising spend.
Amen to that. Yeah.
So agreements on that. So as you walked across the bar earlier, you said something that made me laugh. You were complaining because I think you were carrying a pint of cider. And you said it's spilt more easily than beer. Is that true? And is that a reason that we should be drinking beer instead? Because we're less likely to spill it?
No, this is completely off limits. Don't worry about that.
Okay. We don't talk about that then. This is real ale
the
only.
The beer with the head, I felt it didn't slop, whereas the cider without the head, I felt it slopped. But this is trivial.
The level of the beer is slightly below.
I think it was just because it had a swig out of my pint, and that's what his excuse that it was spilling out on its own.
Quite likely. So, you're on Twitter. London Camera's on Twitter. How do we follow you?
I'm Camera Greater London, or Camera GTR London. So,
and the Camera website, should anybody want to go and find out more?
www.camera.org.uk, and that's C-A-M-R-A.
That's lovely. Thank you ever so much for all your time.
Thank you. Can we have your card so we can...